This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Each week when we do this, I want to take out 5 minutes and go over and answer one of the questions that were brought from online. And this question has to do, it's one of the Safina QA questions. I think this will be question 14. And the question is, what defines Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? What exactly is Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? And people ask this question, it's a very important question, because if we're saying that there are all these groups, and we know the hadith, the 73 groups, and that there's one correct and saved group, well, how do we know that that's what we want to be on? Or how do we know that that's what it is? Or what we're upon is, you know, that group. And if you notice, whenever someone does some kind of wrong action, what do people say? People always say, well, they're taking the verses out of context, right? So we should ask a question then. Then the skeptics, which usually they don't, but the skeptics should. They should ask a question. And they should say, well, if your book is, as you say, any type of idea you have, you can find a verse for it, right? Isn't that what people say? Anything you want, you can find a verse for it. Well, if that's the case, then how is it a book of guidance? How is it clear? As it states, it's a clear book, right? It says it's a clear book. So how is it clear if I could pick and choose whatever I want from it? Okay? The answer to this is very simply that Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah consists of everything, every tafsir, explanation, interpretation, understanding of every verse and hadith, okay, that does not contradict another verse and hadith. That's the key. They're distracted. All right, every interpretation, every tafsir, every istinbat, ruling derived, okay, from any verse in hadith that does not contradict another verse in hadith. And of course, doesn't contradict the language. Okay? Doesn't contradict the language. That's what consists of the body of what we call Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Anytime, any interpretation or understanding or tafsir of a verse and a hadith, or ruling derived from a verse and a hadith that contradicts another verse and hadith, that's what we call a heresy, and you have to throw it out. It's wrong. Okay? That's what we call a heresy that you have to throw out. Another thing, thank you. Whenever a subject is brought up, okay, and someone says to you, look at this hadith, and it doesn't sit right with you, and they're saying, look, this means that. Okay? What is the right response? All right? The right response is, show me all of the verses about that subject. Okay? Not just one cherry-picked hadith or cherry-picked verse. No. Show me all of the verses and all the hadiths about that subject. Then when you go through all of them, then you'll come out with the truth. Right? Then you'll come out with the truth. And the Prophet, the word Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah comes from, some say that Sayyidina Ali is the one who asked Ibn Abbas, okay, to begin codifying matters because of the rise of the Khawarij, okay, the rise of the Khawarij group, sects, okay, which brings up another question: why are there sects in Islam? If Islam is true, or why didn't Allah protect it? He protected the Quran. Why doesn't He protect the theology of Islam and the law of Islam? Well, because the answer is because we're humans. We're human beings. We're not light switches that are on and off. We have gradients of understanding. We have whims. We have hawa. We have will power that contradicts sometimes the guidance. Right? And all of us, at some point or another, there's going to be a piece of guidance, and our whims will want to do the opposite. So there is a gradient of guidance. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, what is this gradient? It's 73 grades. One is correct and the others are wrong. Now, Ibn Abbas, he took this word, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which some people say he was the first person to utter that phrase, and Allah knows best, but it's not really critical, but some people attribute it to Ibn Abbas, that it's from a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, after my death, you will see ikhtilafan kathira, much difference, a lot of differences. After my death, you will see a lot of differences. Okay, a lot of new things. Okay, so they said, well, what do we do then, O Messenger of Allah? He said, stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas after me. Okay, rightly guided khalifas after me. Which, he said, khulafa, not al-khalifa, not al-khalifatan, al-khulafa, plural. Which means the Prophet ﷺ knew that the khulafa would be multiple, more than three or more. Why is that important? Because later he said, al-khilafa min ba'di 30 sana. Khilafa after me is 30 years. So if, as is claimed by Ahlul Shia, that there should have been one Khalifa, Ali should have been the Khalifa, well, Ali lived 29 and a half years after the Prophet ﷺ. And then Hassan, 6 months, he was the Khalifa. So if the Khilafa is 30 years, there would have been only two Khalifas. If it was supposed to be Ali and Abu Bakr and Umar had done wrong. That's a little side note. But the Khulafa is plural. Okay? So, take my sunnah. Then they asked, O Messenger of Allah, well, who then will be on your sunnah at that time? So we could be with them. He said, al-jama'ah, the majority, the jumhur. And why is it that it happens to be that most of the people are on the sunnah? Well, actually, it's very simple. Because the deen was public, was practiced in public, in front of everyone. The salah was public 5 times a day. The Prophet was there for 10 years in public every single day, answering questions and teaching. Battles happened in front of everyone. He made khutbas in front of everyone. Okay? So the deen was public. And the transmission of the deen was, as we would call it today, democratized. The Prophet ﷺ said, any one of you who hears anything from me, pass it on. Pass it on, and don't think that you have to have a high level of qualification. It may be that you're passing it on to someone smarter than yourself, or more attentive and attuned than yourself. So the transmission was democratized. There were no limits. There are no rules that state that you can or cannot transmit a matter from the deen. Okay? And because of this, it went, transmission was public, from public, from public, and as a result of that, right? As a result of that, it's very hard to embed or insert a lie into the truth. Right? I hope that was a clear explanation, and if you all want further explanations, have any further questions about it, feel free to send up a question. And at any time, you have questions, there is a brother, a runner, he's wearing his tracksuit because he's going to be running to get your questions, okay? Then just bring them up here. Anyone who has a question, write it down right away, and then inshallah we'll answer them towards the end.